You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is why we should never put celebrities in charge of any... Oh, wait.
The Wire. From 2026, the government will introduce standardised testing for reading, writing and maths across all primary schools. Year 1 students will be required to sit phonics tests at 20 and 40 weeks of schooling, and years 3 to 6 will be required to take PAT and E-ASTL. Around 60% of schools already use this type of testing. The reason for the introduction of testing is to improve education levels which are not up to standard, according to Prime Minister Christopher Luxon. Education Minister Erica Stanford stated testing is important to keep parents informed about their child's progress. Further, she continued, saying that the test will allow teachers and principals with the data to track in aggregate with their school's performance. Producer Al spoke to Faculty of Education and Social Work PhD student Tom Pierce about this policy.
Do you mind just outlining what the current assessments are for primary schools in New Zealand?
Yeah, so it's quite complex. When most people think about assessment, they usually think of things like tests and quizzes and exams, because that's sort of what they remember doing themselves, like, you know, through NCEA or Cambridge or at university now. But for younger students at primary schools, there's actually no specific assessment requirements. It's like most things in our education sector, it's just left up to schools. The government sets requirements in terms of these quite broad statements, saying things like schools have to identify student learning needs, schools have to identify students who aren't making enough progress, schools have to put in place plans to support students who aren't making enough progress, schools have to identify teachers who need more support. So that all obviously involves assessment. You know, schools have to do assessments of some sort, but it's sort of left up to schools what they're doing. And it was kind of an offensive bit of spin for Erica Stanford and Chris Luxon the other day to come out and say that kids are making it to year 10 or 11 before they get assessed, because that's just not the reality. There is already policy in place that requires schools to assess. The difference is that until now, we haven't had the government saying you have to use these specific tests. It's been left up to schools. And so what actually happens in most primary school classrooms is this much more informal process of assessment. Primary school teachers work really closely with kids, and just while they're interacting with kids and talking with kids, say doing like a small group reading lesson, they'll be thinking about how the kids are going with the work, thinking about what their needs are, what the kids can do already, that sort of thing. And so that's the way that assessment gets done at the moment in most primary schools. And then there are these other tools that schools use on top of that, things like PAT tests, E-ASTL, PROBE for reading. Most schools are using those sorts of tools as well, but those are mostly used to report to parents. A lot of schools are not really using those things to sort of inform their teaching and learning.
Right, so following on from that, how important is assessment in terms of improving education standards?
Assessment's like really crucial for education, and it's sort of been the focus of education policy in New Zealand for about 30 years now, is this idea that you need to assess kids, you need to find out what kids can do already and what their learning needs are in order to improve your teaching and improve their learning, you know, sort of identify where the next steps are. And so we talk about that's formative assessment, when you're using assessment to improve teaching and learning. And the difference is between how you're doing that assessment, basically. So some people will say that you need to be using these more standardized sort of psychometric testing to identify those learning needs. And others say, no, you need this much more interactive process, because otherwise you can't really get access to, especially with young kids, you don't really get access to what their learning needs are and how they're sort of forming their ideas and things like that. So, yeah, assessment is really crucial for education, but the way that you do that assessment makes a huge difference.
Right, so Labor's education spokesperson has stated that standardised testing in particular is damaging for young people because it causes anxiety and competition within schools. Can you speak to the impact of standardised testing in particular compared to the other assessments that you've been speaking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's accurate to say that it does cause competition. There was a big review done of the education system about 5 years ago, and one of the key findings there is that we already have quite a high level of sort of monitoring and sort of compliance requirements for teachers, and what it's creating is this environment of sort of low trust in schools, and that becomes a barrier to, you know, to good practice spreading between schools. Schools are operating sort of in isolation of each other. They're not really working together as well as they could. And if you bring in things like standardized testing, particularly if it's, you know, the same tests are mandated across the sector, that really raises the stakes of the testing. If schools are reporting the same testing data to the Ministry of Education, then that's publicly available information, which will then get published into league tables. And, you know, it gives a very narrow view of what quality education is. But it comes to stand in for sort of good education. Parents will go, they'll look at a school's testing results and say this is a good school or a bad school on the basis of that, when in reality we know that that's not a good reflection of how good a school is or how good a school is doing. That's one of the problems with standardized testing, I guess, is the stakes that are involved. Those tests are really useful for teachers to use in their own teaching. And they can identify learning gaps and things like that. But, yeah, as a sector, they're not actually very useful.
On that, what do you think the impact is going to be on students?
I mean, I've got kids, school-age kids myself. One of them's very stressed about the idea of having tests. I'm a primary school teacher as well. So I know the impact that this has on kids. A lot of kids do get very stressed out by these tests. Other kids are really unmotivated to actually do well. They don't really care because for the students there's not really any sort of benefit to trying hard in the tests. They don't really see, a lot of them don't see the benefit to doing well. So some kids will just sit there sort of guessing because they want to finish and go on to, you know, read a book or whatever. And other kids, yeah, like I said, will stress out about it and not do as well as they probably could.
So Christopher Luxton, he's come out and said that he wants students to be, quote-unquote, up to standard by years 10 and 11. Do you think there are alternative policies that would address these issues better?
Yeah, very much. The assessment's all well and good, but the thing is, the status quo in terms of assessment is fine. Schools already know who these kids are that aren't making enough progress. And what schools are saying is that we need more support for these students. And schools are saying that the schools need more support in order to address those learning needs. So, you know, we don't need this extra assessment data to identify those students. We know who they are. And if we look back, we had national standards for 7 years, which was a similar sort of thing. It was more based on teacher judgments. But the idea behind it was the government saying, we need to identify who's not making enough progress and get them up to standard, but no extra support for schools actually eventuated from that. And I think that's what's going to happen this time, is that, you know, the government will require all the teachers to assess their kids, but there won't be any extra supports put in place for schools. So if the government is serious about getting kids up to standard, they need to look at, you know, what schools are actually saying to them in terms of supporting these kids with learning needs. We need more specialist supports for teachers. We need better curriculum resources and just broadly more resourcing for schools, better pastoral care, that sort of thing.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
If you have high-stakes testing, what tends to happen as well is the curriculum gets narrowed. So, you know, if we're assessing, using these tests to assess reading comprehension, writing and maths, then increasingly that's what teachers will focus on. They'll focus on just the skills that are in those tests. And so kids will miss out on things like social studies, the arts, PE, all these other learning areas that are really important get less and less and less time because there's more and more pressure on teachers to improve their kids' results just in these tests. And the other thing that happens is you can get sort of a two-tier system where schools where the test results are lower, which tend to be, you know, schools from lower socioeconomic areas, those kids get basically just coached on the sort of the testing skills, whereas the kids at wealthier schools, who the results of those schools tend to be higher, those wealthier kids will get a sort of a broader and sort of more full education than poorer kids.
That was Faculty of Education and Social Work's Tom Pierce speaking to Wire producer Al about the decision to introduce standardised testing and alternative policies to meet the government's objectives.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.